Amen. It's good. If I could just encourage you, I know it's not mentioned that often necessarily from the pulpit here, but on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, we do have visitation and soul winning, and just want to encourage you that if you've never been out soul winning, to think about doing it, pray about doing it. The Lord commands us to do it. I guess I shouldn't say pray about doing because He commands us to doing it, but pray about asking someone to go out with you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's many folks I know who would do it, but they themselves feel like, you know what, they don't have a partner to go with, and so if somebody would ask them, I feel like they would go, and I just wanted to encourage you to do that this Saturday, or whenever you get a free Saturday, or Tuesday evening, if you have a free Tuesday evening as well, that would work. But just want to try and get the gospel out as much as we can in these end times. And if you would just grab your Bibles with me, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 12 this evening. I'm so glad that you're here. I know Pastor is thinking about you. I was texting him this afternoon and right before he left, and I know he would be glad to know that you were here in your place with him not being here as well. But 2 Kings chapter 12. This message was born out of a devotion that I had a while back, several years back, and just something that kept coming back to my memory as I would look through things that I had studied and looked at. And it's a very interesting passage that we're going to get into, and it means a lot to me in the sense that it's something that I think we all struggle with each and every day of our lives. And it's something that the Lord wants us to deal with as He gives us an example of it in 2 Kings chapter 12 here. We're going to go ahead and read in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 7. And the Bible says, "Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house." We're going to go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the time that we have here, but I'm also going to bring a message after we pray that I entitled, Fix the Breaches. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to open your word, Lord, freely. Father, we pray that you would bless it. Father, we thank you that you promise that if your word is proclaimed, it will not return void. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you would be with the many children throughout this building. Father, I pray that you would open their hearts. I pray that you would help them to understand what they're being taught. Father, I pray that you would be with the teens as well as they do prepare, coming up in another month or so to go to youth conference. I pray that you would prepare their hearts now, Lord, that they might be open and willing and ready to receive what they have tonight, but also in the future at the youth conference if they are going. And Father, I pray that you would just bless. Lord, we thank you for this time and time in here. We pray that you would open the hearts of all of us in here, Lord. Help us to understand your word. Help me, Lord, to speak it clearly. Father, I pray that you would just remove me of self. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to speak the words that you would have me to speak. And Lord, if there's something in here that you do not want said, I pray that you would remove it from my memory. But Lord, I pray that you would add the things that you want said as well. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. Praise all in Jesus' name. Amen. King Solomon, the son of King David, was the king that built the temple. King David wanted to build the temple, as many of us probably understand that and remember that from being told back in as a child of the stories of King David and King Solomon. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but God wouldn't let him because he was a man of war. And we can see that in 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3, and we can also see it in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verses 6 through 8. And in 1 Kings chapters 6 through 8, we see Solomon builds the temple in all of its glory for the Lord. You see, it's a temple that I know the missionary kind of went on about a little bit about the temple and Solomon and his wealth and the gold that he had to make the shields this past Sunday night. But I was reading it a little bit, and it talks about how he made doorknobs out of cedar and just carved a cedar and made things out of that, and how wonderful that must have been. And then thinking about the chains of gold and the cherubim that was overlaid in gold, and just the amount of work that went into it, and the doorposts that were made out of olive tree and olive tree branches. And it's just amazing of what the Lord did through a man who was yielded to him at that time, a man who was willing to do what his father David wanted to do but couldn't. And the Lord said that he would allow his son to do it and his offspring there. And it's just amazing what the Lord did through Solomon there. After the death of Solomon, though, we see the nation of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. There were 19 kings in the northern kingdom between the death of Solomon and being taken into captivity by Assyria. And every one of those kings were bad kings and followed not the Lord. Between the death of Solomon and the southern tribes being taken into captivity by Babylon, there were 20 kings. The southern kingdom had a mixture of good kings and bad kings. The southern kingdom starts out with the reign of Rehoboam, who was mostly bad king. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, and 2 Chronicles 12, 13 through 14. But after Rehoboam was Abijah, who was mostly bad as well. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3 tells us about that as well. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. And after Abijah was Asa, who was a good king. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 11 through 14 talk about Asa and how talk about Abijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 through 4 and verse 6, talk about Asa. And after Asa was Jehoshaphat, and he was a good king. And after Jehoshaphat was Jehoram, who was a bad king. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 18, and 2 Chronicles 21, 11 through 13 talk about that. And after Jehoram was Ahaziah, who was a bad king. 2 Kings chapter 8, and verse 2, talk about that. And 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 3 and verse 4, talk about that as well. After Ahaziah was Athaliah, who was a wicked king, and 2 Kings chapter 11 talks about Athaliah. After Athaliah was Joash, who was a mostly good king. And that is where we are at this evening, with Joash. This is where our scripture starts this evening, and there are 3 particular words that grabbed my attention when I was studying this passage out years ago, and I want them to bring them to our attention this evening. So I want us to take a look at 3 words this evening and apply them to our life and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts wherever he may. The first word I want us to see is the temple. The temple. Verses 1 through 8, read with me. It says in the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense, in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so, that in 23rd year of King Jehoash the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. Now, in these verses, you may be wondering, it didn't say the word temple, and I understand that, but we can see through Scripture previously that it's talking about the house of the Lord, the house of God, and it's talking about the temple here where it talks about the house of the Lord, and it talks about the house that they're trying to repair their breaches in. It's talking about the temple that Solomon had built. You see, the passage says that the house of God And it says, we know from the previous scripture that the house of God is returning to Solomon's temple. And it says that in 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 through 11, and also 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. I want to read 1 Kings here for you, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And it says, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes of the chief fathers of the children of Israel unto the King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house of the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings and over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above, and they drew out the staves, and the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, the Bible says, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanksgiving and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. As I read these passages here, I could just feel the anticipation of the priests and the folks who were there of waiting for the Lord to fill the house. They were getting everything ready. They were getting everything prepared. They were getting everything in place. The priests went in. They cleansed themselves before they went in, as the ritual was. And they were coming out, and the cloud filled with the glory of God. Man, how exciting that must have been to have been there. How exciting it must have been to have been there when the cloud filled the temple. But how excited and how exciting is it when the Holy Ghost, God, fills the temple today? I'm going to explain what I'm talking about here in a minute. You know, how excited are you about the Holy Spirit filling the temple today? The Almighty God. Today there is no building that is a temple or a dwelling place of God that is physical like that temple. But since the day Jesus resurrected and went to be with the Father, he sent the Comforter, and our bodies have become the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are the temple of God. Now, Pastor has said it, I know, recently, that this building isn't a temple, and he mentioned that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This isn't where God dwells in the same way that he dwells within us. And the physical building was destroyed, but the temple of God lives today through you and me. Through each and every Christian who is on this earth, the temple of God is alive and well today. How excited are you about being a temple of God? How excited are you about having the Holy Spirit live within you? You say, that's a stupid question. I'm a Christian. Of course I love it. Well, we don't always love it, do we? There's times where we do things. There's times where we go places. There's times where we think things, and we're thinking, I just wish the Holy Spirit wouldn't be with me today. You know, we all have those weak moments. No matter if you're a strong Christian or a weak Christian, we also have those moments where, you know, somebody cuts us off, and maybe we wish the Holy Spirit wasn't with us that day. We wish we weren't the temple of God, and yet we still are. What an excitement it is to know that we have the Holy Spirit within us, dwelling, God dwelling with us each and every day. And yet oftentimes I find myself drifting off from the thought that God is with me. You know, it's easy for us in today's society. We're so busy. We're so busy going here, so busy going there, so busy doing this, so busy doing that, and we forget that the Holy Spirit is even with us. We forget that the Holy Spirit has indwelt us. We forget that in times past, the Holy Spirit came upon people, and yes, he gave special power to folks, but in the Old Testament. But we have the Holy Spirit with us today, each and every day, after we have trusted Christ. First, I wanted us to see the temple. And I wanted us to see that we are the temple. We're going to bring this all together at the end. Secondly, the second word I would like us to see is the breaches. The breaches. Look with me at verse 4. And it says, "And Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found." But it was so that in the 23rd year of Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, "Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house." And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. The Bible tells us that there was breaches in the temple of God at that point in time. And a breach is a gap or a leak in a building or a ship. It could be a narrow opening or it could be a big hole. It varies in size. And as I was thinking about this just today with the breaches, I was immediately drawn to Lancaster, California. And it's very windy there, but there's a few days that it's not. And it's filled with sand, it's filled with dust, even when it's not windy. And I remember days going out to my truck. I took my truck out there when I was out of school there, and I had it there so I could go places and find a job and such things like that. And I remember getting into my truck day after day and seeing this film on my dash. Now, I had my windows cranked up, I had my door shut, and yet somehow there's still little pieces of dust and dirt and sand getting in my truck on my dash. You know, there's little holes that aren't completely plugged up in your car. And no matter how big or small the hole may be, this little sand, it seemed like day after day, it was just there. No matter how windy it was, no matter how hard I tried to wipe it off the day before, that sand was still there. And it reminded me that no matter how big or small a breach is, it's a problem. You see, how did this happen? How did these breaches come in to the temple? How did there become holes in the temple? How did there become cracks in the temple? Well, you see, the place where God set up some 100 years or so before, it started to decay. It started to, over time, decay faster and at a greater rate because it was neglected. We see in the chapters previous that they had set up high places to worship. They set up places of groves, and they started worshiping in these things. And some of the time, it may have been because of these bad kings. They didn't feel safe going to the temple. But after the temple was built, they should have went to the temple to worship. They should have not neglected the temple. They should have not neglected the place that God had set up himself in. You see, the Bible tells us that time and time again, people sacrificed in the high places, and they burnt incense in the high places, and they worshipped in the groves that were built back in the time of Exodus up through 1 Kings chapter 12 and beyond. They were worshipping in other places. But we also see in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 7 that there was destruction done to the temple. 2 Chronicles 24, 7, it says, "For the sons of Athaliah, the one who was before Jehoash, the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things, the house of the Lord, that did they bestow upon Balaam." The phrase is that they had broken up the house. It means to break through, to break down, or to breach. Many of you may know the term breach from the military term, and it has the basic same connotation of making a hole or a gap into a place. And I know I think of military terms when I think of someone putting a C4 and blasting through a hole and breaching into a door that way. And I don't think they use C4 here, but ultimately they destroyed the temple. They put breaches and they put holes and they put these ways of getting into the temple that shouldn't have been there. There was 15 years between Jehoshaphat, a good king, and Joash, a mostly good king, with bad kings in between them. In almost a generation's time, the temple was neglected and breached. Verse 5, it says, "Wheresoever it shall be found." It says, "Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach should be found." This phrase, it indicates to fix all the breaches, but also means to hunt and to find all the breaches. I'm afraid today Christians find the breaches in their life, the holes in their life, the holes that allow the devil and the world and sin to get in. They cover up the big ones. They cover up the ones that the C4 might create. But what about the little cracks? What about the little areas of our life that don't seem like a big deal? What about the little areas of our life that seem like it's not going to matter? It may not matter to you, but it's a big deal to the devil. Whether it's a big crack or a small crack, the devil is just looking for a small foothold to get into our life. And if a Christian doesn't find the breaches, he will. There was an old deacon who used to pray every Wednesday night at a prayer meeting and always concluded his prayer the same way. "And Lord, clean all the cobwebs out of my life." The cobwebs were those things that ought not to have been there, and they had gathered during the week. It got too much for one fellow in the prayer meeting, and he heard the old deacon one time too often. So when the man made that prayer, the fellow jumped on his feet and he shouted, "Lord, Lord, don't do it. Kill the spider." That's what needs to happen. Just like this man who was talking about cobwebs and wanted to deal with the cobwebs instead of the spider. Many temples of God, many Christians, will find the easy open holes, deal with them, and leave the harder to find cracks alone. But if we don't deal with them, the devil will find them. If we don't deal with the little cracks within our life that can give the devil a foothold, he will find them. He is patient. He is able to wait you out. He is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And yes, he may roar to scare you, but at the same time, he's a patient devil that will wait and wait and wait until you totally forget about this crack over here and he slips his way in. There's a story of a lady who never spoke ill of anybody, and she said, I believe you, or someone said to her, I believe you would say good about even about the devil. And a friend told her that. Well, she said, you certainly do have to admire his persistence. And I like that to remind us of how persistent the devil is. He doesn't just come at us once. He doesn't just try a foothold once. He doesn't just try an avenue of sin once. He'll try to get you time and time again. And it's something as we grow in Christianity that I feel like people tend to forget about. They tend to put on the back burner. We're not supposed to dwell on the devil, no, but we should know that he's there. We're not supposed to dwell on his trying to get a foothold in our life, but we should know that he is. We shouldn't dwell on the things of darkness, but we should have an awareness that those little breaches, those little things that we don't think are a problem, will become a problem. Those little things that we don't feel like are going to really weigh us down in our Christian life, the devil's going to find them. So first we saw the temple. Excuse me. Secondly, we see the breaches. Thirdly, we see the priests. Look at with me. We're going to read most of the scripture again, but verse 4 it says, "And Jehoash said unto the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so, that in the 23rd year of Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then the king Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests, and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and huge stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there was not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the work, to the workmen, and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered their money, the money that to bestowed upon the workmen. For they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests. So who was supposed to repair the breaches? Who was supposed to make sure the breaches were fixed? Well, we see here that Joash put the priests in charge of that. The priests were the ones who were supposed to be at the temple. The priests were the ones who were supposed to deal with the temple rituals. The priests were the ones who were supposed to be at the temple, who were dealing with the temple, who were supposed to watch over the temple. And They were the ones who should have been keeping up with it. The ones who let it be neglected and decay. But before we become too hard on the priests, may I remind us that today, we are the priests. We are the believer priests, as the Bible puts it, as we talk about it in our Baptist classes, I guess you could say, or Sunday school classes, the doctrines classes, priesthood of the believers. Today, the priests are in charge of keeping up with the temple. The temple is our body. Each Christian, in some form or fashion, will have some sort of breach in their life, some sort of area in their life that isn't sewed up, some form of place in their life that doesn't have a seal on it like it should. We're sinners. I mean, we're bound to. That's not necessarily the point. The point is that the priests who were supposed to take care of the house at this time didn't. They neglected it. Even when they were told to fix the breaches, Joash came to him and said, "Why repair ye not the breaches? Do you not understand? This is the house of God that needs to be repaired. Come on, what are you doing? You are the priests. You are the ones who are at the temple. You are the ones who are supposed to do the things with the temple and with the sacrifices and all those things. And you're not taking care of the house of the Lord." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We see that the priests went to the ones who did masonry and carpentry and worked in all manner of workmanship. We alone, as a believer priests, cannot fix our breaches. We cannot fix the areas of our life on our own that the devil will get a foothold in. But I know of somebody who we could classify as a master builder. We could classify as the one who created everything. We could classify as the one who built the temple that we have that holds the Holy Ghost inside of it. That if we go to him and if we say, "Lord, fix the breaches in my life. Show me what is open. Show me what area I am vulnerable in. Show me what area needs to be not neglected anymore. Show me what area I need to take attention to. Show me what area in my life I need to sew up so the devil doesn't get in, so the world doesn't get in, so sin stays out. Lord, help me to know where to fix the breaches." I cannot do it. You cannot do it. But if we go to the Lord, he will show us and he will help us and he will guide us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Philippians 1, 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." It's an ongoing process that we are in of sanctification. Sanctification is an ongoing process that we will be in until we die and go to heaven and we are glorified. But we should strive each and every day. We should strive harder each and every day to take a good look at ourselves and say, "Lord, where is the breach? Where is the opening? Where is the crack in my life that I'm neglecting, that I'm saying is not a big deal, but Lord, if I want to be used in a greater way for you, I need to get it fixed. Lord, I don't want to allow this little crack, this little thing to become a big hole. I don't want to allow this little hole to become a greater gash in my life." As I said, we're sinners. There are going to be cracks. But neglected cracks brings a grieved spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 30, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, a small crack left alone will allow the devil to get in and to stir up some bitterness, some wrath, malice, evil speaking. A little crack will become a big hole. A little crack will end up grieving the Spirit, will end up allowing you to not hear the Spirit as well as you should when we let bitterness come in. A little crack that lets bitterness come in will grow exponentially. But it will not only affect you, but it will affect the temple that sits next to you. It's going to affect the temple that you go to bed with if you're married. It'll affect the temple that was born out of your family. It doesn't just affect us. But may we ask the Lord to examine our life and say, Lord, I am the temple of God now. The Bible says so. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting that all of us believe that the Holy Spirit is God in here, so I'm not going to go through that and explain why we believe that from the Bible, but I'm trusting you believe that. So we have God within inside of us. And we allow little cracks to linger. We allow little cracks that we know God has told us to take care of to stay. Instead of going to the master builder. Instead of going to the one who created everything. Instead of going to God Almighty and saying, Lord, fix my breach. Fix the hole in my life that will allow bitterness to come in, that will allow wrath to come in, that will allow malice, evil speaking, etc. So the question this evening is, how is your temple? How is the temple of God tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the examples that we have in your word. And Father, I thank you for all that you do in and through your temples. Father, thank you for allowing us to have the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, we thank you for sending him. We thank you for allowing him to have the ability to yield, to if we yield to him, to guide us and direct us and to help us and to show us, to reprove of sin. Lord, to show righteousness in our lives, to show us what we need to be. Father, I pray that you would help us to repair the breaches. Father, if we all think hard enough, we ask you long enough, we can think of something that is in our life that if we let it go, we neglect it, the devil's going to break it down and get in. Father, I know they don't want this. I know they don't want that in their lives here tonight. Lord, that's why they're here. Lord, I pray that you would help us all. pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.